The Occupy movement is making itself heard again in the Bay Area. On Friday, hundreds of protesters in San Francisco took part in coordinated actions at courts and financial institutions. It was the second anniversary of the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, which enabled corporations to donate unlimited amounts of money to political campaigns. Police arrested 23 people who chained themselves to banks and tried to take over the vacant Cathedral Hill Hotel. During the day, many actions had a whimsical flair, including a flash mob outside of the Bank of America building. They danced to a unification song. Gwen Winter from Oakland took part in a skit dramatizing the power corporations wield in the U.S. Wearing face paint and carrying a sign, Winter said the banks have gone overboard.
My God, the money has been sucked out of the people up to the top, and I'm facing foreclosure. So many people I know are facing foreclosure, and I worked all my life. Worked all my life, retired. Dot-com took most of my money in the 90s, and what was left I put into real estate. Ha, ha, ha. Now that's flipped over. So, you know, I just feel like people need to have the power back. We need democracy in this country. That's basically why I'm here.
Protesters taking part in Occupy Oakland plan to take over a building next Saturday to create a headquarters for future actions.
We're not helpless. We're powerful people.
Anna Maria Pascu, who also identifies as a member of the Occupy movement, says media need to pay more attention to the issues splitting the country apart.
Are you kidding? You know, they don't tell you anything. They tell you about the weather. Here's all these wonderful people getting out into the rain early in the morning when it's colder than you know what. And they're talking about the weather and ha 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 this and trivial that. I've been to marches where there's 7,000 people, and they don't speak at all. They don't say very much. They might say, oh, a few people, you know, they'll just say general things like some people were protesting, there is a few hundred, whatever. They're very vague, if at all. So, no, we're not being covered the way we need to be covered.
Pascu is particularly critical of commercial radio and television, newspapers and magazines, much of the mainstream press. But in San Francisco, other media outlets are trying to reinvent the marketplace.
So we are in the world headquarters of the San Francisco Public Press. We're at 5th and Mission, right around the corner from the San Francisco Chronicle. We can see them out our back window.
Michael Stoll is the executive director of the San Francisco Public Press, a nonprofit, non-commercial journalistic outlet that started up in 2009. Stoll reported for years in the mainstream media, including the Christian Science Monitor and the New York Times. But he questioned the values of ad-driven papers. He wants in-depth public service journalism to be available without any commercial influence. The San Francisco Public Press carries no advertising. It's actually modeled after public radio. And Stoll is about to publish his 6th print edition. He invited KALW's Ben Trefney over for a tour of his tiny headquarters.
It's about 600 square feet. This here is the conference room, a big just round table with a mishmash of unmatching chairs that we salvaged from various locations, including the street. You know, on the other side of the room is the warehouse, and we have about 5,000 old newspapers stacked up. In the other corner is our large format printer that we look at page proofs on for the newspaper.
We skip by the exercise room over here.
The exercise room is a large red exercise ball from somebody's Pilates class, as any self-respecting .org would have available. You look down about 30 degrees.
About 2 feet in front of you.
Yeah, about 2 feet in front of me. And this is the newsroom. It's an old folding conference table with another five helter-skelter chairs around it. You turn around another 90 degrees, and there's the executive suite, which is actually just, you know, four old mismatching desks and papers tacked to the wall. You turn another 90 degrees, and you have the cafeteria, which is actually a toaster, microwave, and coffee maker, and little pantry. And then off in the corner is our extension service, which is actually a place, a little room that we rent out for freelancers, and that pays most of our rent for this little space.
That's Michael Stoll, executive director of the San Francisco Public Press, giving a tour of his modest digs to KLW's Ben Trefney. They sat down at the roundtable to discuss the Occupy movement and other subjects from the public press's perspective.
The Occupy movement is a fascinating and inspiring and also flawed concept coming out of some of the best tradition of grassroots protest. I've seen a lot of protests in my time as a journalist, probably attended over 100 of them. And I think this is unique in that it's such an open format for dissent that it incorporates just about every cause under the sun, at least from the perspective of the American left. Although there are some other causes thrown in that don't fit into that mold. And I think what's really surprising is just the level of energy that's been unleashed that nobody could have predicted before September. And it does seem like it has the possibility of creating or spawning or spinning off a whole bunch of smaller movements that have enough energy to affect change. But we don't know whether that's going to happen or it's just all going to get dissipated, you know, through infighting and disagreements built into this open format. You know, it's going to be very interesting to cover. I think most of the coverage in the press has been focused on the logistics and the drama of the street protest and not the messages and not the political debates that inspired people to show up in the first place. And I think that's a real loss and a misdirection. It's a habit of the news, especially nowadays when news organizations are so underfinanced, to focus on the drama and not on the substance.
You see the mainstream media covering the drama. How do you think they should go about covering the substance?
I think a lot of issues brought up by the Occupy movement and the Tea Party movement, for that matter, have been kind of bubbling under the surface and have not reached the popular consciousness. And I think that really has more to say about the focus of the news media.
What do you think it's covering instead and why?
I think there's two things. One is because the news media has cut back so much, they're looking for the easiest stories to cover, and they're not doing the investigative reporting, the so-called enterprise reporting, where they have an idea and they're developing it and they're going out and seeking sources to talk about an idea creatively. It's more reactive. And that's happened more and more as the media have been cut back and tens of thousands of journalists have been laid off over the last 5 years. I think another reason is that the news business, by and large, has been for decades mostly supported by advertising, and it's been a commercial industry that has traditionally made boatloads of profit for big corporations that oftentimes are out of town and have no connection to the local community. The assumption is you're going to go for the news that interests the elites, because the elites are the people who are most likely to respond to the highest price advertising. And so there is an economic incentive to cover only certain kinds of news, typically news that responds to the concerns of the elites. And a whole section of the American public is cut out from that conversation. And so you have a business section instead of a labor section. You have a car section instead of a public transit section. You have a new home section instead of a rental section. And there are all these assumptions that we've made and come to accept about the standard, you know, layout of the news, newspapers, you know, but also broadcast, that I think now that the industry is kind of self-immolating, we as journalists have a chance, you know, a window to rethink and reconsider and, you know, reconstruct what the news is about, probably more in a public service framework.